to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It is Saturday, January 30th, 2010, end of the month here. And boy, what a crazy month it has been. It just seems to get weirder and weirder. This is the year of the Twilight Zone presidency and all these strange things going on. We have a guest today. So joining us on the phone is Karen Tostado. And Karen, thank you for spending time with us today. And I brought you onto the show here because your call for a national strike is striking a tremendous note of resonance among our readership and our listeners. We had a lot of people writing in saying, you got to get her on. I support this and so forth and so on. We had a lot of calls to the show. So, Karen, thank you. And how's it going over at the website and the plans for a national strike?
Well, thank you, and it's going well. It's starting to resonate with people, and that's what it would take to win, you know, to stand for freedom. We need to get the word out, and I am feeling I'm getting more response through the Tax Holiday website. I've been doing more interviews. I am open to trying as much as I can to get the word out because it's not about me. It's about us, and it's about everyone who is listening actually making this their own and taking it to the streets. The other day I went shopping and my printer is down, but I took some printing paper that I had and some black and red big felt tips, and I just wrote national across the top and then strike in red below it with a date, and then the website of taxfree15.com and power to the people through peaceful unity. And it was well received. I have another friend who's calling to talk about leaving little questionnaires on cars. She thinks that that's a good idea to make people think about what's happening with questions on one side and with links to answers on the other side. And I think calling in, people calling in to other stations, because this is for the people, by the people. I'm just an instrument in getting some things on the site, but if everyone who this resonates with will pick up the phone, call into other talk shows, I think we can do something, Mike, and you are helping, and thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome for that. And the reason I'm supporting this is because a national strike was used to tremendous effectiveness by Gandhi in getting the British out of India. And it has a couple of advantages. I don't like violence because the wrong people get hurt. A national strike is a very non-violent method of displaying unhappiness with the current regime. And the bottom line, it leaves them with no real response. I mean, what's the government going to do? Shoot you for doing absolutely nothing? That's kind of a tough sell in the court of world opinion here. And a generalized national strike sends a very clear message that the American people, we're just not going to work for the system anymore because the system no longer works for us. Now, the reason a strike is going to be far more effective than a simple boycott is this. The United States government, in addition to being tremendously in debt itself, there are trillions of dollars of foreign investment capital in the United States right now. And it is kept here despite the loss of productivity and profitability in the United States. It is kept here with the promise that no matter what happens, there will be no losses because the taxpayers will be made to pay the bill. This was demonstrated during the SNL bailout of the 1980s. You know, we were all told that we had to pay money to save all those widows and orphans and pensioners, but the reality is that 90% of the accounts in the SNLs that went bust were numbered, brokered corporate investment accounts, some of which were linked to the CIA's drug running from the whole Iran-Contra mess, which is a side issue. But the bottom line is, George Bush Sr. wanted to demonstrate to the world that we had become a fascist economy, even though we, the American people, didn't realize it yet, and that foreign investment was safe in the United States because if you made money, you could keep it. But if you lost money, the taxpayers would be forced to cover the losses. And that's what the SNL bailout demonstrated, that the government could actually get away with looting the people to restore money to the foreign investors. That made the U.S. a wonderful gold-plated haven to park your money in. And so we've had all this foreign investment capital sitting inside the United States. And then last year, the bailouts were basically a repeat of the same strategy all over again. Your money is safe here. We will stick the American taxpayer with the losses, and your money will be protected and safe here. So that foreign investment is the government's Achilles heel. Because if there is a prolonged national strike, it's going to send a message to those foreign investors that we, the American people, will not be soaked for their losses any longer, that we'll just simply stop working so there's no tax revenues going into the government in order to do more bailouts for all these foreign investment accounts and brokerages in Wall Street. And the advantage of this thing is we don't have to win any battles. We don't have to kill anybody. We don't have to knock down any walls. We don't have to tar and feather any politicians, although that may be a perk. All we have to do is sit there and persevere at doing absolutely nothing. And at some point, the foreign investors are going to say, okay, the U.S. government can't keep that promise that they'll always stick the American people with the losses. I'm going to start thinking about moving my money to another place. And the first major withdrawal from our investment community by a foreign power will trigger a run. And the entire economy and the U.S. government will come down with it.
Well, you know, I thank you very much, and I'm really glad. You are such an educated man. It's always a privilege to listen and to learn from you. And I agree, and what I also think is they are so well manned. We spend about $1 billion a week on war. It's
yes.
ridiculous. And while we're spending all of this money, it's to our detriment. Our global economy is now focused on war because we got the bullies who are behind it all, who are the Wall Street bankers, who profit off of everything from bullets to the coffins they'll be happy to bury us in. And I do believe that staying home and out of the way is kind of like the what if they gave a war and nobody came.
Yeah. And now I know how old you are.
Yeah. Well, I am. I was born in 52. I mean, I remember skies that were clear of chemtrails when I didn't have to explain to people who are younger than I am that, no, that is not a natural phenomenon. Those are
okay.
chemicals.
All right, I don't want to go into that. I don't want to go into chemtrails. I want to stay with the national strike here because, yeah, you and I are the same age. So the bottom line here, now, I think for the next step of the national strike here, this needs to go viral. And the way it goes viral, which we're already starting to do, we need to find some really good musician who is with us on this topic. Maybe Paul over at Poker Face could chip in. And we need a music video that can go up on YouTube, so that it can start going viral. I'm going to put this interview up on YouTube once it's over. So it'll go up on our YouTube, on our What Really Happened page. But what we need is a musician to do a really catchy piece of music and maybe some visuals that we can edit together and just make a little music video calling for the national strike and put it out there and hope that everybody Twitters it and faces it and all the rest of that stuff and gets it out there. And that is what will really spread this idea. And maybe we just call it, you know, the joy of doing nothing. You know, we need a catchy title. You know, it's a non-war. It's a non-revolt. We're celebrating doing nothing, you know, and basically if we do nothing, the government can take nothing from us.
Well, actually, I have, I like to put it as calling peaceful warriors because
yes.
it takes a lot of strength to look within yourself and to figure out that your own integrity, our integrity is at stake, and our moral obligation really should supersede our economics, because it's gotten to the point where not only are we working for them, but our children, our grandchildren, by us continuing to allow this to happen. This machine is just rolling over us. And
yeah, it absolutely is. You're right.
It's going to obliterate our descendants totally. And to stand up for it, we really do need to come together and recognize it's a common enemy. Now, I had some feedback. I was featured on a webinar on Republic Magazine, and I had some feedback. I get mostly positive feedback, but I also got one person who talked about, well, I'm still really angry, and so I'm coming from anger, and I want to fight against the people who are persecuting us. And it's mistaken. Her perception is mistaken because I am angry at all the things that have gone
wrong. Okay, Karen, we got to take a break. Karen, we got to take a break. The music means it's time for some commercials. And so we're going to stop for a few minutes. But Karen, stick with us, and we want to pick up exactly at this point when we come back from the station break. So we're going to take a break here. Our phone number, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Matt's in the control room answering the calls, and we will be right back.
The This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And
call
Mike
now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Been a long time since I pulled that little goof on Mr. Announcer Guy here. Our guest today is Karen Tostado from the, she's organizing a national general strike, which I think at this point is a very good idea. It is a non-violent expression of the upset of the American people. And before we go back to Karen, I wanted to point out a couple of news stories. We all know that back at the State of the Union speech, Barack Obama declared a freeze on domestic spending, which means the money they are taking from you in taxes will not be spent on any taking care of the nation. We've already seen around. The roads are coming apart. The bridges are collapsing. We've got wildfires because nobody's clearing away the dead brush. We've had massive flooding through the middle of America because our flood control systems have been neglected for going on a decade. So Obama says we're going to balance the budget by freezing domestic spending. We're not going to spend any more money on you, the taxpayers. No. You'll just have to make do with what you've got right now. But, of course, spending on foreign aid to Israel continues unchecked. Military spending continues unchecked. And today we're getting word that Obama has increased the budget for the manufacturing and production of new nuclear weapons. So obviously we're on a war footing. They're just looking for a starting time to get us going. And Karen, this goes right to the heart of what you were saying before the break, where we are condemning ourselves and our children to a lifetime of servitude to try and pay off all of these debts that are being created by this rush to war.
Well, and not only that, we're condemning the descendants of the people we're warring against by using depleted uranium. And I want to encourage people now to go and to look that up and to see what's happening in Iraq, because the birth defects are quadrupling. And that's something I'm angry about. So at least this gives me something to do about it, a way to channel my anger. And I agree with you about the music. Actually, I would like to be involved in that. I sang professionally for years. And there's so much that we can do. And it's so heartening to have people responding to your show, Mike. I am so grateful, because this is about us. This is about each and every one of us. And it will require sacrifice. But the sacrifice it means is just getting out of the way of that big steamroller and standing shoulder to shoulder as it's coming toward us. Some people will stand there in the way. What I'm calling for is for people to actually recognize this threat is about all of us. And I'm going to join with people who recognize this and simply step back and to the side. And as it keeps rolling, I'm going to get more and more people to stand with me until finally it just rolls right out of view, and those who are left and start over can really pick up the pieces. And this is where I support Bob Schultz and the We the People mm-hmm. Foundation. And there's petitions for redress.
Well, you know, the imagery is really quite clear. The government is obviously headed over the edge of a cliff. And with the American people, we've only got two choices. We can either let the government drag us over that cliff with it, or we can stand back and say it's not our problem anymore. I mean, even if the government were to nationalize, which is a fancy political word for steal, all of the private wealth in the United States, everything, your home, your car, your jewelry, the gold fillings in your teeth, all of that stuff, if the government were to nationalize it, it would still only cover about one quarter of this government's total debt obligations to the privately owned Federal Reserve Bank and to certain foreign interests. So the bottom line is the government is hopelessly in debt. They can never get out. So their solution to prolong their own party, you know, and all the little interns they've got to play with in Washington, D.C., is to tax you into poverty to prop up their existence a little bit longer. And I think we've got to realize we've hit the point where even if we spend a lifetime of sacrifice at a 90% tax rate in order to try and save the government from its own recklessness, it's not going to change the final outcome. It might delay it by 10, 20 years. And in the end, even if by some magic we were to pull this government out of debt, what are we going to get for all of our effort and sacrifice? We're going to get a government that It's reading our emails, listening to our phone calls, suspending our civil rights. It's totally paranoid of us. In other words, we could work our entire lifetimes to buy a government that is maltreating us with naked body scanners and TSA at the airports. And that is that's a very cruel payment for a lifetime of sacrifice to a government that may not even be legally elected if you look at the vote fraud issue. So I think we've reached the point where Americans need to say it is time to stop throwing good money after bad. We've invested our lives in a government that is clearly going in the wrong direction. The government got into this debt without our permission. The government can get out of the debt without our help. And the advantage of sitting down with a general strike, I think if it goes on for any significant amount of time, most people are going to realize that there's a lot of things that they have in our present civilized life that they really don't need, and they can get along quite well without. All of a sudden, if you're not going out and buying all the latest fashion accessories and stuff, you'll realize that maybe it wasn't that important after all. And if you shut off your TV set, you're not getting all that constant brainwashing about how you're just not human if you're not pouring the latest colored gel all over your hair. And
government gone wild. That's what
it is. Absolutely. I love that. I love that. Government gone wild, but nowhere near as cute as the girls on the infomercials. You're absolutely right. One of the things that happened when Gandhi called for the national strikes in India is the Indian people realized that they had been brainwashed into consuming a lot of products made in England that they really didn't need and didn't really enhance their lives. In fact, if anything, sort of cluttered up their existence to the point where they weren't appreciative of the things that were there just naturally by themselves, like family and friends and community. And I think a prolonged national strike here might get people to understand not only that they don't need the federal government, but a lot of the things that corporate media has been selling us really we didn't need as well. I mean, one of the things the iPad comes to mind. That seems to be the latest flop here. But like MP3 players plugged into your ear, I mean, they're being sold to us and people do buy them because if you don't have one, you're considered de classe. I've got three of them, which have sort of accumulated around me. I never use them. I can't stand to have them playing in my ears when I'm walking around because it feels like I'm on drugs because what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing doesn't line up. And so, again, it's something that they take natural resources out of the earth. They make it into this year's fashion accessory. You play with it for 6 months, and it goes into a landfill. This is what our entire economy is based on right now. It's tricking you into spending money and using up the earth's resources at a faster and faster rate. And now we're finding out because of ClimateGate and Swine Flu Gate and all the rest of it that it's 90% hoaxes to begin with, just to keep us constantly working and striving to reach these arbitrarily defined goals of social normality.
Well, when you stand back and you really look at it and you look at history and you look at what they say in their very own words, you see that global government has been planned for generations, for longer than that. Mm-hmm. And we've fallen into the trap. We've been lulled into a false sense of security. And from the time we're children, TV was first around when you and I were children. But
yes.
Now we've had successive generations who are raised on that. And in America, they target specifically at children. They tell children what to buy. There's a great movie out there called The Corporation, and you can find it on thecorporation.com. And for people who haven't seen that, that's also an eye-opener. And
mm-hmm.
on my Educate page, I've got lots of links. And right now, Mike,
I've got to drive. Karen, got to take another break. Speaking of evil corporations, we got to take another break for some commercials. Hang on to that. When we come back, I want to hear all these links, these URLs. I want to talk about your website. Where do people go? When is the strike scheduled to happen? Let's start getting people plugged into this thing to spread it to everybody that they know. We'll be right back.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Karen Tostado, who's organizing a national general strike along the lines of what Gandhi used to rid India of the British occupying government there. And Karen, we've got a couple of callers on the line waiting to ask you some questions. But before we get to that, I want you to go back and give us the URL of your website. And you wanted to talk about a couple of other websites you think people should go to.
Okay, my website can be found at taxfree15.com. Those are the
That's the number 15?
Yes, and you can also access it by taxfree 15th if you want to put the TH on the back of the 15th. So it's 15 or 15th. Taxfree15.com. It's an easy one to remember, and the significance of that is because there's also an economic boycott on the 15th, just building up to let them know, hey, here's a little sucker punch right now. I'm not spending my money on the 15th of the month until our Constitution is restored. And also, it's a way to help start calling attention to this. And speaking of calls, I went on freeconferencecall.com, and I was able to secure a telephone number for a conference call. So we can start weekly conference calls starting next week at 11 a.m. Pacific.
Okay.
That number is on the site, and I can give it out now. It's 712-775-7200. That's 712-775-7200. The access code is 431669#. Now, it's up there on the website. If you didn't get it, it's up there. And I've got links to all kinds of different websites, including yours, Mike.
Yes, I'm seeing it right now.
Yeah, the site is about education. And when we really recognize what it's about, and how far we've gone, and especially now if we've got the so-called president of our country, who also just happens to be the president of the corporation that is the United States, which also should be illegal and treasonous, telling us he's not spending money on anything but war, on the Educate page, you can see that you can go to costofwar.com or whereisthemoney.org. So I've got these links around to show us where it's going, and because it's our money. And the real strike starts on April 15th. And just imagine how much fun it would be to sit home instead of scurrying around trying to pay them their taxes, which actually are illegal anyway. It's a voluntary tax on our 1040s. Can you imagine how cool it would be, Mike, if the news people were all standing out there looking at a couple of policemen and there were no cars going by, no cars rolling up, nobody going, yeah, take my money for war and take my money to pay the interest of the private Federal Reserve, because I really don't care about America. I'd rather make sure the war machine goes on and Bernanke and Geithner and Paulson all get their Christmas bonuses.
Well, everybody, of course, can file an extension on their taxes so they don't have to do the hassle on the 15th. I think if everybody filed an extension, and there's already a huge noncompliance problem. The media will never report it. But one of the reasons state and federal tax revenues have plummeted is not only that the economy itself is in the Al-Qaeda, there's a huge noncompliance issue out there.
Yeah, and so I do think that everyone should file for an extension. And right now, the strike is from the 15th to the 18th. Now, that's only 4 days, but I sure am open to having it go wider. I'd be open to having it go national. This is actually an international problem, because people all over the world right now are facing a tyrannical government, the UN, and this New World Order, which wants to just squash us all, take our land, murder us, take our children, send them to war, and I've had it.
I think pretty much everybody has. I'm hearing that. Listen, can we go to the phone? So we've got a couple of people who want to ask you some questions. So let's go with Greg in Oregon. Aloha, Greg. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question for Karen?
Yeah, a question and a comment. Really great idea, but I think we really have to understand what we're striking about. I'm kind of new to your program, so I don't know if you've had Ronald McDonald and Robert Rowan on your program.
Not yet.
Wrote the book, They Own It All, Including You. And if we understand that the Federal Reserve note is a foreign corporation IOU that is buying everything for that corporation, and it's a foreign corporation, not an American corporation, if we understand that, we understand that everything we own and everything that we possess is not really ours.
Including
with that understanding,
and our children.
Exactly. With that understanding and the points that you brought about the fact that all the governments in the states are now corporations, as soon as we understand that and we strike with that knowledge, I think that the whole turnaround is inevitable.
That's perfect, because we are just collateral on the debt. And while we sacrifice and we can't send our children to college, and we're forced to send our young children into indoctrination centers that they call schools, and they're taking our money and they're taking our land, we've forgotten. All we need, in my opinion, are five things. We need clean air, clean water, healthy food, communities that are self-sufficient, and we need integrity. And all of those things we can give ourselves, and all of those things governments take. And so this is about recognizing that literally the buck stops here. It's my money. As a matter of fact, if we went big enough, it's our money that they have stolen. The Rothschild family is rumored to have over half of the world's wealth in one family. We sit and allow ourselves to be penalized. We allow people to starve in Africa, in Haiti, where we militarize them. And this one family sits around and goes to wherever they want, drinks the finest champagne, and they are stealing our money. We're dying because we're paying them under a false belief that we have.
They're stealing our lives is what they're doing. They're harvesting us like farm animals. I mean, that is really what it comes down to. What Greg was saying here is absolutely true. When they talk about treasury bills and all these other things, those are pledges to enslave Americans to some future master. Whoever owns that T-bill is effectively being sold American labor through the form of taxes. So you're basically being sold into slavery. We've had a problem where Israel is donating money to our congressional candidates in exchange for which the U.S. will send, the U.S. government will send your children off to fight Israel's wars. That is another form of enslavement. We are all slaves. We're being told that we're so free that the rest of the world hates us for our freedoms. It's utter nonsense. We are slaves, and the proof is very simple. We cannot say no. When the government says we need more of your money, we need more of your children to go die in the wars, when the government says we're going to lie to you and tell you everything is okay when it isn't, when we can't say no to being lied to, when we can't say no to being looted, when we can't say no to our children being killed in wars fought for corporate and foreign interests, then we are slaves. There is no freedom without the freedom to say no.
That's exactly right. And we also have to look at the leaders who we have out there. Most of the presidents belong to a group called Bohemian Grove. And I'd like to just read here so people can really understand. The modus operandi of the Order of Bohemian Grove says, and I quote, "The activities of the Order are directed toward changing our society, changing the world, to bring about a new world order. This will be a planned order with heavily restricted individual freedom, without constitutional protection, without national boundaries or cultural distinction." Our presidents belong to this club. Now, how does that sound?
Well, it sounds like a repeat of the same, you know, the world will be much better if it's under one government that we've heard from a bunch of utopians. But, you know, as you were saying, yes, the push for global government has been going on for a long time. I am of the opinion that the swine flu non-epidemic and the global warming non-crisis are two of three pillars on which the latest push for global government was going to come about. But every time I hear the phrase global government, I keep thinking that's what Alexander the Great wanted. That's what the pharaohs wanted. That's what the Roman Caesars wanted. It's what Hitler wanted. It's what Napoleon wanted. Every 100 years, planet Earth is cursed by a group of people who think the world would be so much better if it was all under their direct immediate control. And every attempt at global government throughout history has been really good for the self-declared global leaders. But it's been very bad for the ordinary people of planet Earth. I really think that modern civilization is not a tremendous blessing for the ordinary people of planet Earth. I think it is a curse. I think it is just another fancy name for enslaving you to build pyramids to the glory of our leaders. Greg, thank you for the call. We're going to let you go. Karen, please stick around. We got one more caller with a question for you after these words from our sponsors.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Last segment of hour number one. Our guest is Karen Tostado talking about a planned national strike for 4 days. I think 4 days is a good, reasonable objective. I don't think it's practical to go longer than that. But a four-day national strike during which Americans don't work, don't buy anything, don't use any of the infrastructure, basically just sit at home enjoying their families and each other for 4 days would send a shockwave through the corporatocracy that is running this country. We're going to go back to the phones. Mike and George. Georgia, you have a question for Karen.
Yes. When I look at your site and what you're trying to do, I don't really look at this as a political movement, but I look at it as a resistance. You know, the other guy was asking, what are we doing? We're resisting the corruption, noncompliance. Is that in line with what you had in mind?
That's totally in line. The only reason that we find ourselves in this position today is because we allow it, and I think it's time to say no. No more illegal wars, no more stealing our money, no more 1040 income tax, no more taking our property. The list is huge. One thing that I think is very important as well, now the 4 days encompass a weekend, and I know that this is going to take sacrifice from people. I've worked all my life as well. You know, I know what it's like to be a waitress and depend on tips, and I know how much harder it's going to be if we don't do this. The time has passed for freedom to be just handed down to us. It's our personal responsibility to stand up for our freedom. And this is a peaceful way. And in those 4 days that we stay home, I want to encourage people to take that time to totally disconnect from the TV, to start watching America, Freedom to Fashion. Take some of these other links, or Freedom to Fascism. What we had is Freedom to Fascism, and we're buying everything.
Well, I hope Nancy Reagan rolls in her grave, but I think this is... needs to be a just say no campaign. You know, just say no to all the illegal activity that's being conducted by organized crime in the guise of government. There's no legitimacy to it.
That's true. It's just a bunch of bullies, and we haven't stood up for them. And there are so many levels. We have corruption on so many levels. And I'm encouraging people to take your money out of the bank. We need to take as much money out of circulation for those 4 days as possible. Take your money out of the bank.
I think that's a good idea anyway, because we're starting to see more and more banks that are very shaky. And my advice is you should have no more in the bank than it takes to cover any outstanding checks here, because at some point, if there's an economic crash, the government will just come into the banks and grab the money. There's already an executive order in effect. Where they can lock your bank
accounts. Does anybody have any recommendations as a good bank to put it, or a good place to put any money?
Well, cookie jars, mayonnaise jar buried in the backyard underneath your mattress, you know, into silver and gold, obviously. And I think right now the precious metals we should all be investing in are silver, gold, and lead.
Yeah, well, also think about solar panels and generators and storable food. And this also is really a wake-up call for everyone to recognize where they are. It's time to take stock. Here's a weekend now. Folks that aren't working can think about where they are in their lives, how they got there, what's really important in their lives, and what they can let go. And also start forming communities. We should be farming. You know that most of our food travels 1,500 miles before it reaches our plate. And they're putting farmers out of business and paying them to not farm and contaminating their crops with genetically altered seeds. You know, we should be farming. We should be getting to know our neighbors. The myth of overpopulation is just that, a myth. The population in this country has been going down since the 1950s. There is enough for all of us. It's just these bullies have taken everything, and now what they're doing is arming the military to protect their interests.
Well, in regards to that, I'd like you to comment on the Sheriff Mack link that you had and the obligation of people to resist illegal orders, particularly the military at this point.
That is something that I think is also a really, really important thing to do, is for people to start to get to know the county sheriff, because the county sheriffs are elected. The county sheriffs have the authority to send the government packing. And so if we can cultivate our county sheriffs, if there's one in there, we need to call him and ask him where he stands on freedom of speech, on the Second Amendment, you know. And we need to find out if he's going to stand against tyranny. And if he isn't, then that's the only reason I think we need special elections. We've got to start locally.
If they're representing
us. Can I intrude here? Can I intrude here for a second? Because we're almost out of time here. We're almost at the end of the show here. But I wanted to go back and comment about your saying that, you know, our food travels 1,500 miles and all the rest of it. This is a pattern of oligarchy because the goal is to trick humans into not being self-sufficient. In fact, George Bush the Elder, you know, we came out with this lame statement about instead of celebrating Independence Day, we should celebrate Interdependence Day, that we need to make everybody dependent on everybody else. Well, what that means is that all of the necessities of life, instead of producing them for ourselves, and I'm a farm kid, I grew up on a farm, so I know what it's like to just have a piece of ground and your food is right there and you can just take care of yourself on that piece of ground. But the oligarchs basically want all the food to flow through them so that they can control the population by controlling the food. Instead of everybody having small localized power supplies, they want a single big electric generation station because that way they control the flow of electricity and they can profit from it. Same thing with water. Instead of getting water out of wells on our own property, we now have to go through the private water utility. Everything is centralized in order to allow it to flow through the hands of the powerful few. And we absolutely, definitely need to reverse that trend. We need our own power generation, our own water. Now they're talking about taxing you for water that you collect just falling off your roof when it rains in order to discourage people from saving their own rainwater. I mean, it's absurd the lengths they're going to. Next, it'll be air. Instead of getting air from the atmosphere, they'll bottle the air and pump it into your house and say, oh, that outside air is really too dangerous for you to, that's, in a way, that's almost what ClimateGate was all about. They wanted to tax you on carbon dioxide. You're exhaling carbon dioxide. You're destroying the planet. You have got to pay money to us for the privilege. I mean, it's absurd, but that's the way that they maintain their control. And we, you know, I'm rapidly coming to the point of view that all government above the level of the local town council or community really exists only to exploit humans for the benefit of a few. I mean, look at our own government, our entire federal government. It's not taking care of we the people. They just told us we're on our own for domestic spending. It exists solely to project power and build empire and grab wealth, steal it, really, for the powerful few.
Actually, they're serving us up as the main course for their greed, and that's the only way they serve us, and it's time that we recognize that. Mike,
they're vampires.
They are. I can stay as long as you want. I'm perfectly content.
Well, I have one last thing I wanted to get in with you, either on or off there, and basically it's that these service people and peace officers, what they're supposed to be doing is protecting our personal sovereignty. And if they're not serving to make sure that we're having that, they're not serving us, and they're not legitimate.
Well, they're called law enforcers now. And actually, it's a very unfortunate situation because they are so brainwashed and vaccinated. More servicemen now that are more servicemen who are active committed suicide last year than those who were killed in Iraq.
Well, a lot of servicemen are actually warriors, and they're sworn to a deeper oath than you can imagine, and that what they're being asked to do is not in compliance with that oath. They feel obligated, they feel duty called to protect people.
And that's why they're trying to disarm them when they come back from the war zones now. That's why the government wants to take their gun rights away, is they understand that is the trained core of a force that will oppose the oligarchs. We're at the end of this hour, and I'm so sorry because this was going so well. I do have to do some other stuff in the next hour. So, Karen, we've got to let you go here one more time. The name of your website?
Taxfree15.com.
Taxfree15.com.
Yes, and I urge everyone to go there and to make it your own. Make your own handmade flyers, call into talk shows yourself, spread this around because this is not my movement, this is our movement. It's going to take all of us to save the United States.
All right, well, Karen, we're going to have you back in a few weeks' time. I want to sort of have you back on a regular basis between now and the time of the national strike to get a progress report and keep pushing this forward there. So, Karen, thank you very much. Let's stay in touch. We're going to come back to this topic very, very, very soon. And let's see. Mike, thank you very much for the call. We're going to let you go. Greg, sorry we didn't get to you. If you want to wait to the other side of the news, I'll let you make a comment real quick. We're going to take a break for news and commercials. We'll be back after the break. Stay tuned. And aloha.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to hour number two of our show today here. We're talking about the First Church of Human-Caused Global Warming and St. Al of the Gore, and they're attempting to rebrand and repackage coming out of one of the harshest winters in recent memory and an absolute plunge in public trust in climate scientists. And they're moving away from global warming, and they're calling it climate change, like a changing climate is a bad thing, which is nonsense. The climate's always changing. Has for 4.5 billion years. It will go on doing so. There is really no way to stop it, to be very honest. But that's the snake oil they're selling, that if you will give them carbon taxes, that they will lock the Earth into its present configuration, which is rather arbitrary. You know, because they're trying to say that right now the way the world is the absolute pinnacle of perfection. You can't know that. Can't know that at all. There might be a climate somewhere down the road that's really a lot better for us. I'd like to avoid the next ice age. I don't see any way of doing it unless we can physically shift the orbit of the Earth, but I digress. Meanwhile, of course, since the real agenda here is the carbon bubble and the looting of the world's population with carbon taxes for the Goldman Sachs people to play with and pile up your dollars on the floor so they can roll around on them and have orgasms and say, ooh, we're great people. So now they're trying to find other things that carbon dioxide are bad for, in order to convince you that, yes, the carbon tax is necessary, even though you froze your belly buttons off this last winter here. So now they're saying carbon emissions creating acidic oceans. Ooh, acid in the oceans. And they're trying to convey this fear reaction that, wow, the oceans are going to be acid. And, you know, and it's going to be horrible, and it's going to kill off the ocean life. They're just going to melt and dissolve away. And if you wade into the ocean, your ankles will disappear, and so forth and so on. So anyway, and we're still having problems with Ustream right now, so hopefully the feed will go back here momentarily. Here's the reality. When you put carbon dioxide in water, you get carbonic acid, which is the same acid, in the chemistry term, that you have in sparkling mineral water. It's the same acid that you have in soda pop. And, you know, it's acid only in the sense that if you put a litmus paper in it, it will say, ooh, we're an acid here. And yes, if you put certain things in carbonic acid long enough, things will kind of sort of maybe dissolve. Okay, we're getting more and more, okay. Ustream apparently is having major, major problems, and I'm apologizing to all of my Ustream audience right now, but apparently we're off the air. All right, let me finish up this thing about CO2 in the ocean water, then we're going to go to Karen on the national strike here. Actually, no, let's go to Karen because we need the segment to talk to her. Karen, welcome to the show. I'm sorry for all the technical issues and what's on your mind.
Thank you, Michael. Well, I was listening earlier, too, when you were talking about the problem with the priests. I was raised Catholic. I'm actually a recovering Catholic. And it is, it's really unconscionable, but it's part of the bigger problem as well as why we need to take 4 days in a row to really stop and learn about what's going on in our country, what our Constitution really means. And it's the most patriotic thing in the world to actually stay home in order to work on learning to save your country. So the 15th is coming up on Monday. Mm-hmm. And this is also a place where we have an opportunity. Taxfree15.com started as a monthly boycott, the 15th of every month, withholding our money, taking at least 15 minutes to think about what's really going on and where our money is going. Also, to be able to make phone calls. And I have to apologize here for kind of dropping the ball on that because I've been so focused on the strike that it's taken a bit of a seat in the background. But I want to encourage people to think about that, to get ready on the 15th, pick up the phone, call your representatives, your MIS representatives, tell them you're participating in the national strike coming up, and to get ready because we, the people, need to wake up. We want to educate our families. We want to learn about the Constitution, and we're going to be holding them accountable on Patriots Day.
Okay, well, definitely we need to look at that and definitely want to focus not just on the fact that Monday is the 15th of this month, but we are basically 1 month away from the national 4-day strike, with which we are going to send a message not just to our own government that we are fed up, but we're going to send a message to all those foreign bankers and foreign investors who've got their money parked in this country. We're going to send the message, we, the American people, will no longer guarantee the losses of private corporations. We need to basically emulate the Icelandic people. The Icelanders have shown an incredible degree of courage. They have basically told the government, no, you will not make we, the people, financially liable for the losses of private corporations. That's not the way we're supposed to operate. That is fascism when you have a government that does that. And
that's
we need
exactly
to send,
right.
Yeah, we're anti-fascist. We reject fascism as a model for an economy or a government. We reject it just as much as we reject communism.
That's right.
Right,
and we also have to start recognizing that our children are really affected when you come home from work and you don't have enough money and you have to try and pay your rent and you have to try and pay for books and things for schools and you have to try and survive and you argue because you don't have the money. Your children feel it. They are being raised in poverty consciousness because we are government to steal our money. And we're allowing ourselves to be propagandized into thinking that we have to go along with it when instead we have to teach ourselves and our children the responsibility and the rights that come with being an American, being a patriot, and having God-given rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Okay, the thing you talk about, people being trained, I mean, I'm seeing all around me. Okay.
No feedback here.
Yeah, we do.
No feedback here.
Okay, I think that's at the GCN end because it's not looping back here at my setup. The point I was going to make is that we are raised from birth that if our personal living circumstance... Okay, hang on just a second. I'm going to see what's going on here. Is that any better?
Yes, it is. You're not twice as good anymore.
All right. Yeah, the Ustream is messing up, and unfortunately we're having to deal with that problem here as well. Technical issues today. As I was saying, we are raised from childhood to believe that our government should be above reproach. So when our circumstances go into crisis mode, when we don't have enough money to feed our families, to pay our mortgage and so forth, we tend to turn on each other, which is exactly what the government wants. The government wants us fighting with each other, fight group against group, black against white, young against old, men against women, and we have documented, going back as far as COINTELPRO during Vietnam times, that the government will spend money to try and get us to fight amongst ourselves rather than uniting against the real cause of our financial problem, which is the government itself. The government loves to take credit when the economy is good. Well, you don't get to do that without accepting responsibility for when the economy goes bad. And we know that the federal government created this mess that we're in right now. They repealed Glass-Steagall, which allowed bankers and investment companies to get into each other's business and opened up the story for this incredible looting of the American people through mortgage-backed securities, this open-air gambling casino called Wall Street. We know that the federal government gave corporations generous tax incentives that made it financially attractive to move high-paying manufacturing jobs to other countries. We know the federal government has refused to reverse those trends. They've put Glass-Steagall back in now that the horse is out of the barn. But the bottom line is we see time and time again that whatever the bankers want, the government will gladly hand to them. And it's not going to change. And we need to send a message, not just to the American political economic structure, but to all those foreign bankers and investors. We're not going to put up with it anymore. We're going to do an Iceland. We didn't agree to this debt. We are not going to pay it. The government got into this financial mess without our permission, and they're going to get out of it without our help. Or not. I don't think they're going to get out of it. They're talking about an 85% tax increase now,
wow,
to try and deal with the bills. They're talking about this new health care reform, which is nothing more than forcing us to give more of our money to the health insurance companies. They're talking about imposing the carbon tax by executive order. It's all about grabbing more money from the American people. If we let them do it, they are going to tax us into homeless, abject poverty. We're going to wind up living like the Palestinians unless we draw a line now and say enough is enough. Karen, thank you. We got to let you go here and deal with some technical issues, and we'll be right back.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, and aloha. Welcome back to the show here today, and we're going to get back to the situation about, now, the good news is Ustream is back online, and the viewer numbers are going up, and everybody's paying attention. The bad news is their player on my local machine, or the software that sends you the picture, is the source of the echo, and so I've had to turn that down. That's where we are. All right, getting back to the situation with the First Church of Human-Caused Global Climate Change, or whatever they're going to rebrand right now. They're pushing this idea that, okay, so maybe carbon dioxide isn't making the world warmer, but it's bad because it's causing all these other things, like acidic oceans. And, you know, you're going to see all these little, the yachts of the rich are going to start melting and dissolving away, and that's completely nonsense. What they're talking about here is carbonic acid, which is the same acid you have in sparkling wine, sparkling mineral water, and soda pop. Makes the little bubbles. That's all it is. Carbon dioxide dissolved in water. It is only mildly acidic. It is not a threat to the environment. And the reason is because the ocean is already full of carbon dioxide. Every fish that's in there is emitting carbon dioxide. Every jellyfish, every snail, every manta, every tuna that is in that ocean is emitting carbon dioxide, which the seaweed and phytoplankton suck up in order to put oxygen back into the water and also, coincidentally, into our atmosphere. So there's always carbon dioxide in the water. And by the way, setting aside the ocean life, on which we are dependent for food, I might add, remember, we have got an unknown number of undersea volcanoes operating on the floor of the ocean. The entire mid-oceanic ridge are thermal vents that put carbon dioxide into the water. Look at how many volcanoes, active volcanoes, we have on the surface of the Earth right now. Multiply that by three. That's probably how many we've got on the bottom of the ocean floor, but we don't really know. And so for all these climatologists who are out there taking money from the from Goldman Sachs, ultimately, and saying, oh, humans are raising the carbon dioxide and the temperature of the oceans, they can't know. Because they don't know how many volcanoes are down there pouring out lava, pouring out vast amounts of heat, pouring out vast amounts of carbon dioxide. And until you know exactly what the contribution from those undersea volcanoes is, you cannot possibly calculate the human contribution. Okay? Now, carbon dioxide is being demonized and vilified, but the reality is that without it, life as we know it would not exist because plants are dependent on it. Plants are dependent on carbon dioxide. The more carbon dioxide there is, the more plants will grow. The more food will be produced. Commercial industrial greenhouses will put systems in that increase carbon dioxide in the atmosphere because it makes their plants grow faster, larger, produce more saleable products. Same thing in the ocean. The more carbon dioxide there is, the more the seaweed and the phytoplankton will grow. It's a self-correcting system. The more carbon dioxide there is, the bigger the plants get. Every botanist will tell you in the world that is the solution to carbon dioxide. If we plant more plants, carbon dioxide takes care of itself, and we get more food and more oxygen because of it. Of course, Al Gore and Goldman Sachs don't want to hear that because their goal is a carbon tax, not a carbon solution. Now, just to tell you how ridiculous this is getting in the attempt to convince you that climate change is a threat and a danger that you should pay taxes to stop. Had a story here a couple of days ago. Climate change makes birds shrink in North America. Those poor little birds are getting smaller because the climate is affecting them. I have a page at my website of all the things being blamed on global warming and climate change, and it's just absurd. All right. When the Earth was a lot warmer, and there was a lot more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, it was called the Cretaceous Period, The whole world was a tropical rainforest. Temperatures were higher. Food was much more abundant, and as a result, animals grew larger. They were called the dinosaurs, who are the forerunners of the present-day birds. Everybody says, where did the dinosaurs go? Well, some of them went from that big asteroid smack, but there are present-day descendants of the dinosaurs, and they're called the birds, so they're still around here. Now, the reason this whole thing about climate change making the birds shrink, it is nonsense, because it ignores the effect of habitat and available food. Now, we know the birds' habitats are shrinking because our cities are getting larger. And I'm sorry, in a debate between the needs of humans versus the needs of the spotted owl, my vote goes to the humans. That's just the way it is here. But this is a nonsensical idea that climate change is making the birds shrink. And the reason, and the proof, rather, lies on the islands off the coast of Los Angeles, where paleontologists have discovered the bones of a species of woolly mammoth. Now, these mammoths are basically the kinfolk of the mainland mammoth that you see in all the museums here. But because of creep along the tectonic boundaries, over time the islands drifted further and further away from the mainland. And so the population of mammoths on the island became isolated. And because food was limited and space was limited, evolution, natural selection, favored the smaller members of that population. And over time, the island gave rise to a population of pygmy mammoth, little tiny mammoth. Not this tiny, I'm using my hands to exaggerate, but considerably, noticeably smaller than their mainland cousins. But here's the point. Those pygmy mammoth on the islands lived at the same time, in the same temperature, and the same degree of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere as the mammoths on the mainland, who retained their full size. So this idea that they can blame climate change solely for the decreasing size of birds on the U.S. mainland is nonsense. There could be a disease process going on. The birds may have picked up mites or some other parasitic organism that isn't killing them outright, but is simply extracting energy from the birds, leaving less left over for growth. That's called adaptation. That's what Charles Darwin noted down on the Galapagos, that life forms there that looked very similar to life forms everywhere else had changes that allowed them to survive in that environment. So if the birds are shrinking in the North American continent, it is something that natural selection selects for in order to allow them to survive. Climate change might be a factor, but you can't say that that is the only one there. And, I mean, this gets back to that article of faith among the climate change, the global warming cultists, that the sun has no influence. It's all the fault of the human beings. Okay? Here's another one. Global warming might spur earthquakes and volcanoes. This one came out this last week. Earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, tsunamis, and landslides are some of the additional catastrophes that climate change and rising sea levels and melting glaciers could bring. This is right out of Michael Crichton's book, State of Fear. Anything bad happens, blame global warming on it. Okay, I'm sorry. Again, this goes back to the situation that none of these climate scientists and geologists, no matter how much money they're getting from Al Gore or Goldman Sachs, none of them know how many volcanoes are on the floor of that ocean. They cannot say that it isn't the volcanoes that are leading to global warming. Remember in Al Gore's Inconvenient Truths, little subtle trick, he reversed the order of CO2 and warming increases to make it look like CO2 triggered the warming. The actual data shows the reverse. The warming happened first, then the carbon dioxide came along because life was growing. We'll be right back.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're wrapping up on the issue of the First Church of Human-Caused Global Warming, and we will take your carbon tax money away from you every chance we get. And it's rather interesting that along with the rather obvious and heavy-handed attempt to rebrand and repackage and convince you that carbon dioxide that comes out of your body is a pollutant, You know, now they're trying to play for sympathy. You know, oh, we really meant well, and we're just, you know, we're just suffering all of this hardship because of the, you know, and of the ClimateGate emails and so forth. And I mean, we're getting these global warming cultists are now equating skeptics with the people who kill abortion doctors. I mean, this is how desperately pathetic the propaganda is getting. And that's exactly what it is. They're not even talking about the science anymore. They're not talking about the videotape that we have of the former head of Greenpeace admitting they just completely made up that nonsense about Greenland losing its ice sheets in 20 years to scare us into going along with their agenda. That's exactly our whole point. This is not based on science. It's based on advertising and public relations. And now I guess they want to do what the Israelis do. Oh, we're victims. Please don't call us liars and stuff anymore. You know, you're anti-Earth or whatever they're going to come up with here. So, you know, and they're back to the same old tricks. I mean, even after the ClimateGate emails made it very, very obvious that opposing points of view are being suppressed, we now have news that Professor Ian Plimmer, who's very critical of the fear-mongering that's been going on in the whole debate about climate change, has all of a sudden been disinvited by the Royal Society of Artists from a lecture he was due to give in May before an audience including the Duke of Edinburgh. And the official excuse is that as a public figure, the Duke of Edinburgh is not allowed to take a position on the issue of global warming and climate change. And therefore, this critic, this skeptic, cannot be allowed to speak before the Royal Society. Okay, my question would be, are they saying the same? Are they sending the same disinvitation to those who support and promote the global warming agenda? Are they being disinvited, or is it only the critics that are being shown the door and handed their hats? Another little story that came through here real quick. Now, remember we talked about how it wasn't just the Hadley CRU data that was in question, that NOAA and NASA had previously been ordered by the Obama administration to go to use the Hadley CRU climate data set that was also the core of the IPCC, even though NOAA and NASA data were showing something different. Well, now we're getting a situation where email messages obtained by the Competitive Enterprise Institute using a Freedom of Information Act request reveal that the climate data set at NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies was considered by NASA itself to have serious problems. And now they're basically, you know, it's just, you know, no, there is no reliable data. It's all been massaged and processed to justify the hue and cry for global warming. And the raw data is simply no longer available. That raw data that is available is itself questionable because of the very selective way the temperatures are being sampled. We've documented it here on the show. Temperature sensors were put in the outflows of building air conditioners, which is warm air. We have a photo of one of them right next to a trash incinerator. We now understand that temperature sensors in the colder, more northern latitudes were systematically shut down and not even included any longer. This is called the Zen method of science. You draw the curve you want to have, then you find the data that fits it. It's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not science, it's propaganda here. And as we've said, bottom line is, and we need to take the advice of Deep Throat and the Watergate scandal, we need to find where the money's coming from and where it's going. Yes, Exxon did provide some money to climate skeptics, but they provided more money to the proponents of human-caused global warming. Because remember, the oil companies are at the heart of the whole carbon trade. They're not going to be harmed by carbon taxes. They stand to actually make money because they're going to sell more product for less money. We're already hearing it. The reduction in the demand for gasoline is going to drive prices up. I'm sorry, where did the law of supply and demand go? They're finding out a way that they can sell us because everybody knows they're running out of oil. There's only so much down there. And yes, those little microbes are creating more of it, but it's a slow process. In the last 100 years, it is thought that our modern society has burned through about half of the available reserves that are reachable in the Earth's crust. And I emphasize the word reachable. There's probably a lot more petroleum going further down in the Earth's crust. But if it costs more than a barrel's worth of oil's energy to bring that barrel of oil up to the top, then the party's over. Doesn't matter how much is down there. If you can't get it up, party's over here. So we're basically, you know, we're at this situation where they're trying to figure out how they can sell less product to you for more money. And that's why the oil companies are all, they're all hot and bothered for this, you know, global warming, and we've got to be careful, and we've got to ration. As long as they can jack the prices up and make the same profit, they're perfectly happy selling you a drop of gasoline for $5 instead of a gallon of gasoline. It's all about scamming the people. And the whole hue and cry for environmentalism has spawned a lot of opportunists who are selling products that are supposed to be green, and they really aren't. I remember a few years ago, there were these batteries in the store that were being sold because they were environmentally friendly because they didn't have mercury. And I understand mercury is a bad thing, and I love rechargeable batteries and so forth and so on. But I remember these batteries were being sold, and they were more expensive than the regular batteries because they're environmentally safe. And it turned out they were only about a quarter as good. And so here we have a company that made a battery that's really no good, and it's more expensive, so they've slapped an environmental sticker on it, and people bought it until they realized how badly they were being used. Now, here's a good one. The Tesco store chains have these green degradable plastic bags that they're selling, handing out by the millions. They, you know, ultimately, there is no free thing. When you get that plastic bag from the supermarket, the cost of it is figured into the price of the goods that you're buying. So these green degradable plastic bags are being put out there, and people are saying, oh, see, it proves that we're concerned about the environment. And it turns out that these bags are actually worse for the environment than paper. Because, yeah, they'll dissolve after a while if they're left in the sunlight. If they're put into a landfill, they won't. And even if they dissolve in sunlight, they simply break down to little tiny plastic particles that are not compostable. They're not really biodegradable. It's simply a bag that's designed to dissolve so that you don't have to look at it anymore. And, yeah, that's an improvement over the regular plastic bags, but it's not really going back to the environment. The little plastic particles are still there, and the little animals who eat them are going to get very, very sick. But green and environmentalism is the new advertising cliche. Everybody wants to be green, and they want to be environmentally conscious. It may not actually be the case. It's just another way of saying, please buy my product and don't buy that guy's product. All right. We have a caller on the line, Annie in Indiana. Aloha, Annie. Welcome to the show. What's on the mind? What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I have 2 points, if you could give me that much time and bear with me.
We may have to take you into the next segment, but go ahead and start.
All right. This is only my second time to call you. I had sent you an email before on mandatory vaccinations under the new health bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not realize until just recently that you are one of the few Genesis programs that's live on Saturday. I usually listen to the archives. But I've been trying to get in to tell you that how much I enjoy your tsunami coverage from a couple Saturdays ago.
You mean the ripple?
The ripple. We didn't know at that time, but it was very exciting listening to, like, shutting down the coastal roads and all of that. It was very, very exciting, and I had someone else listen to it. I got him to listen to it with me, and he really appreciated it also. It was like, you know, you were there kind of thing.
Well, I hope not to repeat it for the obvious reasons here. Hang on to the phone, Annie. We're going to have a couple of commercials, and we'll be right back and finish up with you. Thanks a lot. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned and aloha.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go back to the phones. Annie in Indiana. Aloha, Annie. Pick up with your next point, please.
Okay, and my next point is as far as the Catholic Church. As far as I'm concerned, as an ex-Catholic, it is the apostate church that's mentioned in Revelation. I did 14 years of Catholic schooling, at which point I knew something was terribly wrong, either with the church or with me. I wasn't sure, but when I was 14, I left the church. and became a heretic. I tell people...
Good for you.
I threw baby Jesus out with the bath water, and I've spent the next two or three decades reclaiming baby Jesus. And I found out that as Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple and condemned the Pharisees, this is what he would do currently with the Catholic Church. He had said, suffer the little children come unto me.
Well, now, I'd be careful with that last one because it's taken on a whole new context in the, in the present scandal. Annie,
well, that's
I don't want to get into, you know, discussions of religion here. And, you know, I apologize for cutting you off here. Can we move on to your next point here?
Okay, but I just did want to say that, that Jesus did warn humans. As far as I'm concerned, all human history is man trying to play God, saying we are God's.
Now, that's a good
you.
One. I like that one.
God has stood back, and I appreciate your sarcastic humor, because I'm the same way. God has stood back and say, okay, you've got the football. Run with it, buddy. Run with it. He's
well,
letting
see, my
us
whole point
ourselves.
Is, my whole point is, and this is not just the Catholics, but it's all these religions that have these problems, you know, rabbis, Methodists, Protestants, the whole thing. Here's my point. If God is standing back and saying, go do what you want, then there's really no point to go to church and put money in the plate and pray, is there?
Well, Mark, I used to think that, too. But at some point, the Lamb of God, who was sacrificed in very meek and mild, is going to come back as the Lion of Judah. And when he rises, it will be
Look,
awesome.
Annie,
yes,
thank you for the call. Thank you for the call, Annie. Thank you very much. We're going to let you go here because Kool-Aid keeps running through my head at this point. All right, a couple of other stories before we finish up for the day here. Over in New York City, this happened earlier in the week. Didn't get a chance to talk about it. The New York City chefs and restaurant owners are very upset at a bill introduced in the New York legislature, which, if passed, will ban the use of salt in restaurant cooking. Now, I understand why the New York City chefs and restaurant owners are upset. If there are people coming into your restaurant who should not have salt, then they need to be aware that some of your food may have salt and ask the server, I need this without salt. A lot of people, I'm one of them, have a problem with monosodium glutamate. If I go out to a restaurant, which is increasingly rare in this economy, but if I go out to a restaurant, I'll ask the waiter, does your kitchen use MSG? And if it does, can I get the dish made without it? And sometimes they'll know and sometimes they won't. More and more restaurants around here, fortunately, are beginning to take a no MSG position, which is even better. But that's how a free society operates. The restaurant is free to put healthy food out there, and we are free to say, I cannot eat it because of my dietary restrictions. I think banning all salt is going to certainly, you know, impose on those who like salt and can tolerate it. We have to have a certain degree of salt in our bodies. If you look at the salt content of your blood, it is sea salt, a little more dilute, but that's what it is. That's what your blood is. It is, you are taking along with you a little piece of the ocean in which your far, 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 far ancestors evolved. And when they crawled up on the shore, they had to take some of that seawater with them. That's what your blood is. Okay? Now, here's my point. My issue here has nothing to do with salt and cooking and eating and health. Doesn't the New York legislature have more important things to be considering than whether there should be salt in restaurant food? New York is in a major economic crisis. They're having to shut down half the fire departments in New York City. And this is what Albany thinks is important? It's just nonsense. I think this is Albany's version of kicking the dog. The whole economic castle is coming down around them. But those legislators have to prove that they still are deserving of their salaries and their perks, so they're going to go out and they're going to start talking about whether there should be salt in the restaurant food. Nonsense. Let's see. Obama is facing an uprising over his new NASA strategy. And I'm not surprised because I'm one of the people who's upset with him. Obama basically killed the Constellation program and the return to the moon and the new development of new heavy lift one-time boosters, delay to the new follow-on space shuttle. And the reason I am angry with Obama for that is that NASA has always been the one non-military technology incubator on which we could rely for new technology, for new products and new industries to create jobs. The whole tech boom of the 1970s and 80s came out of the Apollo missions. We are never going to recapture the manufacturing leads that we had, that we allowed to go to other countries, that were given to other countries by our government. The only hope for a future for this country, either under this government or the one that will soon follow, is to have a very robust space research effort. Not because we want to go out and plant flags on the moon rocks or the asteroids or Titan or whatever, but because the new solutions to problems developed by a space effort stimulate American industry and American products. And that we need right now. We cannot recover our manufacturing. Those other countries that got the manufacturing lead away from us, they're not going to be as stupid as the United States. They'll never let us get it back. We could spend the next 500 years trying to regain competitiveness with computer and television manufacturing. We'll never get it back. We have to leapfrog forward. We have to come up with the next technological revolution. Whether it's fusion, although the Chinese already beat us to that one, photonics, whatever it's going to be. We don't know what it's going to be. We won't know it until we find it. But we've got to be out there looking, and Obama isn't. Basically, he's got us continuing on the war footing. All the money goes to bombs and bullets, Afghanistan and Iraq, soon to be Iran. Money poured all over Wall Street, money poured all over Israel, and the rest of America is allowed to simply collapse into ruin. That's where we are right now. All righty, let's see. Utah House GOP leader says he paid off a woman. Apparently, Utah's House Majority Leader admitted he paid a woman $150,000 to keep her silent about nude hot tubbing with her when she was a minor. You know, I really think, looking at what's going on with the Franklin scandal and now the Pope scandal and the rest of it, I really think that the financial interests of the world will not... I mean, their money shapes politics. That's just the way it works. I think they will not allow anybody to reach the upper levels of political power anywhere in the world unless they have got some deep, dark secret by which control over their actions can be absolutely guaranteed. Either you've had sex with minors, you know, you've diddled the altar boys. Look at the Franklin scandal here in the United States of America. It almost seems like everybody who's in positions of extreme power has such a deep, dark secret by which they can be controlled, and their loyalty to the powers that be can be assured. It almost seems like that. Now, there's one of two things that we can do. We can either pull down from power everybody who's got these scandals, and that means kicking down the doors ourselves and throwing them out into the street because the courts will never do it. Because the powers that be want these people protected. Yeah, they were having sex with minors, but you know, there are people, so we've got to keep them in power and keep on controlling them with that. Or we can simply decide that maybe the sex scandals really aren't the basis on which we should be deciding who does and does not get elected. And going into November, I think we need to, you know, there's a huge anti-incumbent fever in this country, which I think is justified, and there is a growing anti-Israel fever. And I think the proof of that is we're seeing this little political stage set piece where Israel basically dissed Joe Biden to send a message to the Obama administration. But this little political theater where Hillary Clinton is talking tough on Israel and, oh, bad Israel now. And it's all a dog and pony show. Because I think Israel wants Hillary to replace Obama in 2012. And I think that's what they're aiming at. All right, that's it for our show. Thanks for sticking with us through all of our little technical issues. Ustream finally got back online, and they're doing their thing. So until Monday, 5 p.m. Central Genesis. God, I'm tired. Until Monday, 5 p.m. Central, here on the Genesis Communication Network. Stay tuned, stay skeptical, stay angry, stay safe. Have a good weekend, and aloha.